Our scripture passage is Mark 1. It's there in the bulletin. I'll begin reading with verse 14. Now, after Jesus was arrested, or John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have I to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Amen. This evening, it's our privilege and pleasure to have Mary Ochoka, who is connected with Isaiah 55 in Reynosa. And Mario, I invite you here, and we're eager to hear your report and hear the word of God from you as well.
Thank you. Sorry. It is my privilege to be here. Thank you for having us. Thank you for inviting us. And thank you for supporting us in prayers, financially, and you are part of our mission. No, I'm, for the people that don't know me, I'm Mario Ochoka. I'm pastor. I'm church planting pastor in Reynosa since 2014. I was ordained as a pastor. I have my family with is my wife and my daughter and my son. We have two kids. Well, they are not, they are young. I'm not anymore, but they are. They are 25 and 22. So, and, well, what we are doing, what God is doing at the mission with us and through you, well, my main role is a spiritual role, but as a national, as a Mexican person, I'm connecting the people with the gospel because of they are part of they are people of my country. So it is easy to me to build relationship with them. And part of my personality is I like to talk with the people. So I like to relate with them. And I think God gave me a gift because as soon as I start just talking with the people, they start sharing with me things that I don't like to hear. But it seems they want to share with me. And God used that to present or share the gospel with them. So it is a privilege to me to share the gospel. And it is a privilege to be with I will set a bunch of missionaries, as we call in Mexico, no offense, please. We call gringos. But they like, in our culture, you are very welcome. And this ministry will not exist without the American missionaries. And God put in there because they are people that they really wants to share the gospel with them. So we are working together. We are leading the Bible study on Mondays, and God is using that Bible story in an amazing way. I just want to share that the people living in that neighborhood has suffered a lot. One of the ladies, the oldest lady that attended that Bible study, her story is really I don't know how to say it in English. It is very amazed for using that word. She was not adopted. She was let in a door by her mom with her brother. And her mother who adopted, had a girl with her, so they don't have a very good relationship between them, between the siblings, could say that. So she suffered all the life. When she got married, her husband was very bad with her, and she is in 60, 65. So she started attending the Bible study, and the gospel changed her life. She said, "Now I don't know me, because I'm always the person that I'm reject everything. I just share with them some or a few things because I don't want that they know me really who I am." But knowing Jesus, she said, that is different. And I'm changing. So I'm scared, she said, because when I'm trying to respond in a bad way, I cannot. And it's frustrating to me because I want to tell the people different things, but I can't. And she asked me, "Can you explain me why?" And I said, "Well, I cannot, but the Holy Spirit is doing something in you." So she's attending the Bible with her full family. So she is inviting people from the neighborhood to this Bible study. She's sharing the gospel, and she said, it was funny because she said, "I just told him, hey, come to our Bible study." And they said, "No, because I'm Catholic." And she said, "I'm also, but we are just sharing the gospel with you. Just you need to read the Bible, and just you need to understand what Jesus did for you." And she started just telling and said, "Wow. Wow." It's how God is doing that kind of thing. There's a lot of stories that I can share, but we don't have time. And so thank you. Thank you for pray for us. Thank you for supporting us. You are the church that has been supporting us since the beginning, that we became to be a missionary and pastor. So thank you. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for that. So I don't know. We don't have any questions, I hope. But let's do the sermon this afternoon. So, the call of Jesus. In Mark 1, the chapter 1, there's a passage that we can learn a lot of things. But the main thing that I would like to share this afternoon is about the authority. When I was a child, authority, it was a different word than in this for this generation or at this time. When I was a child, I'm not saying that I was really very, very obedient, but you don't have option at that time. Now, this generation or millennials or post-millennials, they changed the description or the way that how authority means. They don't like the authority. I mean, to be honest, nobody likes authority, right? But they question everything. If you can see the kids, you can tell them something, and they will say, why? I don't think that you are right. They question everything. But reading this passage is about the authority of Jesus. And we're going to read what happened when Jesus tells something to you and to me. The first thing that I want to share is the message of Jesus. If you read the chapter 1 of Mark, the first verses that we read, verse 14 and verse 15, verse 15 is, the time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the first thing that we need to learn this afternoon. The essential message of Jesus from the beginning of his mission began to proclaim and teach, repent and believe the good news. What does mean these words? Let's pray. We need to understand very clear this word of Jesus, because here is the most important message to us about Jesus. What Jesus wants that you hear here is two things. One, is the word repentance means change direction. It's just like I shared with this lady. She tried to do something, but she couldn't, or she cannot. Before that, she met Jesus, and the repentance means change the direction. It's not a different word that we use like a regret. Sometimes the people confuse their regret with repentance and are different words. Regret is related that something that you want to do and you did and you said, well, I did, but everyone did. Or I did, but it's not too bad. I did, but I'm a sinner. I'm a human being. So we use a lot of excuses to consider what we did, or just to validate what we did. But repentance is different. Repentance is to change direction. If I'm walking in this way, repentance means I will not continue in this way, I will continue in the other way. That's repentance. And what is what Jesus asking us to do? Repentance. Repent and believe the good news. That's the second one. Good news. I know, I'm assuming that the good news, you know what does mean? It's the gospel. But it's a word in the gospel, it's a Greek word. That means evangelium. Evangelium or evangelio, like it's very similar that in Spanish. That means good news. Or good message. So evangelion or gospel in English means good news that happened. This word was used in the past or in those days when something had happened in their stories. That means the gospel was an announcement of something that had happened in those days. Could be the triumph of some battle, the birth of a son of the king, the coronation, or some special event that had happened. So, take a look in this essential message of Jesus. In one way, he said, repent, think, and change how you see the things. Repent. And then believe in the good news. Some people, I'm assuming it's not only in my country, some people think the good news are, oh, Jesus did this for you, and now you can complete his job. The good news is, oh, Jesus did the 95% for you, and you can do it the 5% the rest. But the good news is something that had happened in the past. So the essential message today of the religion in general tells you this. Obey this, do this, and that, and God may bless you. The religion tells you, go to the church even when the Super Bowl is happening, and God may bless you. But that message about obedience, message is about obedience and advice. And it is not the real meaning of the good news. The religion says, tell me what to do and I will do it. And some of us believe in that and, oh God, I can do this. I need to do this. But because of we have regret or remorse in our mind, but we are not doing anything for God because everything was done by Jesus. The gospel message of Jesus tells you, this is what has already happened. Jesus came and died and rose again for you to win God for you. This is the gospel. Gospel tell to you and to me that We cannot do nothing else for him. Everything was done by Jesus. And it's the reason why Jesus used this word, repent and believe the good news. And these are really good news. This makes a completely different way about their religion or other philosophies that are in the world. God says, if you repent, if you change the way that you see God and life and believe in the gospel, then it will happen the next point that we have here. In Mark 1, verse 16 to 20, we can see what happened when you repent and believe the good news, the call of Jesus. Immediately after Jesus said these words, Jesus prepared to call his first disciples or followers. Jesus, until now, still calls ordinary men and women nothing special, like you and me. And this world seems so normal. When I said nothing special, it's because we don't have nothing to offer to him. If we are here, if I am here in front of you, it's just because his grace. It's not because of me. And if you are here, it's not because of you. It's because of Jesus. What Jesus did for you. So, what we are seeing here in Mark's Gospel, Jesus chose the disciples and he called them. And immediately when he called them, they respond. They are doing something and they left. They leave everything and follow Jesus. We can find three elements, three things here when Jesus called his disciples. In verse 18 and 20, he said, when Jesus called them, they followed him. They went with Jesus. The first thing, very important thing that we need to consider in this call is when Jesus called a person, he now has a close relationship with him. At that time, Jesus called his disciples to follow him. But now, the Lord Jesus continues to do the same. He calls you to your heart to follow him and be close to him. It is very remarkable that Mark's gospel said that Jesus saw them and knew who they were and called them. They called by their names. Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew. Come follow me, Jesus told them. And little later, he saw James and his brother John. And at once, he called them. It's the same with you. Jesus knows you by your name. And he called you to follow him. He called you in many ways. Let's do this exercise. Let's back to the verse 16. Jesus saw, and instead of read Simon, put your name there. Jesus saw Mario. Jesus saw Andrew. Jesus saw, who else I meet? Tom? Heather? Jesus saw, put your name there and said, come and follow me. Jesus is calling you. But the call has a purpose, has a mission. And he said, Jesus calling them, and I will make you fishers of men. Remember that they were fishermen? But the mission is to fish men. When Jesus called us, he gave us a mission. He gave us a mission. And maybe you're thinking, you're talking because you are a missionary and you're doing missions. It is easy to you, but what about us? Well, if you are a believer, you are in a mission. I'm not saying that your call is not to call, to go to Isaiah 55 or another country. God knows. But even when you don't have to go to other country or to other place to do the mission, you are called to do the mission where you are. If you have a job, if you have neighbors, if you have family, you have families, if you have friends, if you have people that you know that they don't know Jesus, that is your mission. So every one of us, we are missionaries. Because we are in a mission. And the mission for us is to share the good news for the people that you know. You don't have to go to other place. You are welcome to come to us. We need people. But if not, you have to do missions here in your town. Every person Jesus calls to follow him now is a person on mission. And the third thing that is, they had a total commitment. At the moment they left the nets and followed him. And you see what they did? The fishermen left everything and followed. Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed him. James and John left their father and followed him. But this is a key point for us. Maybe you're thinking, they left. Should I leave my job, my family that is here to pursue, to do a mission in another country? No. The passage tells us it's not related to leave that, because John, Simon, Andrew, they went back to doing what they were doing. So, after they followed Jesus, they return to do it their normal activities. So it doesn't mean that you should leave all this that you have it, but Jesus tells you now these important things. I'm a priority. I'm your priority over your work, over your family, over your over everything that you are doing. I'm a priority now. Because later, these disciples returning to work and to be with their parents. So, that doesn't mean that you should leave all you have here. It's all about priorities. Has Jesus already called you? Do you have a relationship with him? I'm not talking if you are attending this church. I'm not talking about if you grew up in a Christian family. I'm talking about, do you have a relationship with him? Do you live in a mission? Is he your priority? The last point that I want to share this afternoon with you is the authority of Jesus. You may wonder why this man, this rough fisherman, just received the order or the call from Jesus and they immediately leave everything. Why? Well, the answer is because Jesus has authority over all things. Mark's gospel says here in verse 22 that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he imparted it as one who has authority. This word authority is very interesting because it came from the word author. Someone who creates. When someone writes a book, he's the author of this book, of that book. So authority means that word came from author. So Mark is telling us that everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did about life and the world, he did with authority that come from an author, or that come from the original author, the original creator. He creates everything. So it's not something that Jesus received, but everything that Jesus said and does is something original. It came from the beginning, from the origin. So, because Jesus is the author of life, and he provides to us life, because if you remember, we are died because of our sin. But he provides to us life. So there's something to finish this message that we need to consider about the authority. Here is, we see that Jesus has authority over a spiritual world. You read the passage on the verse 25 and 26, and let's see what Jesus did. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him," referring to the unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." What's happening in this passage, in this verse? Jesus has authority over the spiritual world, especially demons. When he cast out the demon from the man who has possessed by an evil spirit, then we see what he had the authority over sickness when he healed Peter's mother-in-law in verse 29 to 31. Jesus just took her hand and she was healed. So what does all this mean? It means that Jesus said, come, follow me. The disciples could not resist Jesus' call to follow him. When Jesus said, follow me because I have authority over all things, even over your life. And the same thing he said to us, follow me. You cannot resist my call. It's what has happened with the lady that I shared to you. She tried to do something different. She tried to be as she was in the past. But she cannot. We cannot resist the Holy Spirit. Because when we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to us and we cannot resist the call. Jesus' calls is irresistible. Sometime later, at the end of Mark's gospel, and even though Jesus had all authority over all things, he humbled himself for you. Could you please go with me to the Philippians letter, chapter 2, verse 4. Said, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient of the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, to the Father. Jesus humbled himself for you. And he went to die on the cross for you. He had the authority to not go to the cross. But he refused that because of you. Because his mission was to save you and save me. He think of you and in me before him. And for that reason, Jesus brought you this good news, the gospel. Because he is the author of life, and by him all things exist. And for that reason alone, you must follow him. Jesus said to you this afternoon, follow me. Believe in me. Repent and believe in the good news. And if you trust in him and you follow him, you will be in a mission. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, for the rest of your life. But don't worry about it. Jesus is with you, and he will do everything through you and with you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for save us. Thank you for open our eyes, our ears. We want to follow you. We want to do a mission for you, with you. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for your word. Lord, to you be the glory. And I will pray in Spanish this time, just to finish this message. Querido Padre, gracias. Gracias por amarnos. Gracias porque tú nos has cuidado, porque tú nos has perdonado. Gracias por tu amor, por tu misericordia. Gracias por amarnos. Agradecemos todo ello en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Bless you.